places in your Bible. James chapter 4, and Romans chapter 8. Keep your finger in Romans chapter 8. We'll be going back there in just a few moments. Chapter 4, verse 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Now, let me say this while we're passing through this verse. When you find yourself fighting with people around you and warring with people around you, it's because you're warring inside. It's because you got a war on the inside. And it's coming out to the outside. James is very practical in his preaching, very practical in his teaching. Verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye what? Ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. That means for your own selfish reasons, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now he's talking here to those of us who are saved. As Israel was God's wife and committed adultery, we are Christ's wife. We are betrothed to him and we're destined to be married to him. And therefore, we commit adultery. The Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? In other words, when we form a friendship with the world is an evil, corrupt system that is against God and against the things of God. He says, whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Notice verse 5. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves, and sigh, Lord, and he shall lift you up. Tonight I want to preach upon praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to listen just a few moments as we get into this, and I want to look and I want you to think about a couple things. You may not realize it, but once we are saved, prayer is the greatest gift that we've been given. Is there anything, let me ask you this, is there anything that God can't fix? Is there? How is it that we try to get God to fix something? How do we do that? Pray. Prayer is the greatest gift that we have. But it is the most neglected gift that we have. We tend not to pray until we get to the point where we have to pray. Something comes upon us so strong, so hurtful, that we find ourselves having to pray. But that's not the way that God would have it. He wants us to learn to pray. But what you need to understand, turn back if you would in Romans, we'll come back to James in just a moment. But in Romans chapter number 8, the Bible says in verse number 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." When we pray, a lot of times, now listen to me a moment. When we pray, there's two ways in which we can pray. We can pray in the flesh, we can pray in the spirit. James says, "You have not because you ask not." And then when you ask fleshly. You ask of things the flesh wants. Now we have the Holy Spirit to help us. But you need to understand something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is jealous of Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify God through Christ. The Holy Spirit will not bless a prayer that is selfish from the flesh. And so therefore we stand in danger. The reason we have not is because we ask not. And when we ask amiss. We ask it because of our own lust. "Lord, let me get that job." I remember a couple one time coming to me and said, "Would you pray that one of them would get a promotion?" And you know what? At that time, they were coming about every service. And then when the promotion came, money began to come in. Hardly ever see them. And so sometimes what we do is we ask selfishly. Now, I don't have to explain to you what the flesh is. We have the old Adam nature, the old corrupt nature. And Galatians tells us, Paul tells us in Galatians, that it wars against their spirit. They're contrary one to another. And so therefore, what you need to understand is the flesh plays an important role sometimes in hindering our praying and praying as we could should. Now, we are reminded in verse 26 of chapter 8 of Romans, says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Now, the word infirmities means our weaknesses. Now, think about this a minute. Listen to me a minute. We have weaknesses that keeps us from praying like we ought to. What are some of those weaknesses? Well, one is to have an indifference to our praying. Now, are you listening to me? Sometimes I preach and I feel like I'm just preaching to the wall. We have an indifference in praying. In other words, we don't feel like praying. How many of you have gotten to a point where sometimes you know you should be praying and you don't feel like praying? That's your flesh. That's your flesh. And it stands in the way of us praying. We don't feel like it. We don't want to. We'll do it later, some other time. Then also, what happens? The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, if you look back and notice, the Bible says in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness our spirit that we are the children of God." And so what happens is, when we are able to pray, and our flesh is saying, "Don't pray, too tired to pray, don't feel like praying," our spirit, the Holy Spirit, is telling our spirit, "Cry unto your Father, Abba Father." daddy, spiritual daddy, father, I need something. And there's a battle sometimes because indifference keeps us from praying. And we find out that we grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we know we need to be praying about something. Anybody ever have someone say, "Will you pray for me?" And you didn't pray for them? And you told them you would pray for them? Or how many of us just mentions it in passing and really don't pray? Yet prayer is our greatest privilege. Sometimes we have the enemy of our praying is ignorance. Look, if you would, in verse 26 again. The Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what? What we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." Sometimes we don't know what to ask for. Verse 27, the Bible says, "The Holy Spirit that he searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, Jesus makes intercession, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us as well. And so here what we have is, we have, sometimes we don't know what we ought to be praying for. And all of a sudden, when we get to the place where we're allowing the Spirit to have his place in our prayer life, the Spirit will make groanings for us. It will intercede on us. It will reveal the need that we have in our life. Even sometimes when we don't know exactly what we need to be praying for. I've gotten to places in my life I don't know what to pray for. Sometimes I've gotten people where I love. You don't know whether to pray for them go on or stay. Sometimes you don't know what to pray for in other situations that you run into. But we need to be careful, because sometimes ignorance, and what we have to do is we have to get to the place where we allow the Spirit to help us pray. We pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, these charismatics has taken praying in the Holy Spirit to a different level. And they've abused it, used it, and don't have a clue what it really means. And they've took it to sell a product that's not spiritual and not scriptural. And this talking in tongues and all this other gibberish that they do is not taught in the Bible anywhere. If you want to study what the speaking of tongues is, it's being able to preach to a foreign people that doesn't understand your language and the Holy Spirit of God interpreting for you. When I went down to Panama, I preached and I had two interpreters. One had to interpret Spanish, one had to interpret the Indian language. And they both interpreted for me, and the people understood. When Paul went out to preach, and he preached to the whole world, he didn't know many of the languages he run into. And what would happen is, when he would preach in his tongue, the Holy Ghost of God would reveal in their ears, and they would hear him in their language, even though he was speaking his language. That was a gift of tongues. And the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God came to empower the church, Peter preached, 14 dialects heard in their own language what he was preaching, that couldn't understand his language. So sometimes it's ignorance. Then, of course, sometimes it's inability. We're sleepy, have a headache. We just can't get in it. You say, "Well, surely we wouldn't allow that to stand away." Jesus went and asked three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. He said, "Would you watch and pray for me?" He'd just been telling them he's fixing to die, fixing to give his life. And he said, "Would you watch and pray?" Three times he asked them, and three times he come back, and they were sitting sleep. They were laying there sleeping. Sometimes our flesh just gets wore out, and it's an enemy to our prayer life. We get so tired that we just don't pray like we need to. Then sometimes it's things that just interferes. You say, what interferes with our prayer life? D-E-V-I-L. He sends everything in the world in our life to interfere with our prayer life. Some of you were giving prayer requests. And Beth was talking about praying for little ones. Prayer is our greatest weapon. You can't depend upon judges and courts and systems and this and that and the other. But you have a great privilege. It's called prayer. Five things I want to take you to real quickly, if you'll allow me to, in the book of James. Look real quickly. I'm not going to spend time on them. I'm just going to show them. If you're going to pray, there's five things you got to do to get where you can pray in the Spirit. Look in verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now listen to me. If you're going to pray, you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. You've got to recognize what's flesh, and you've got to recognize what's spirit. I believe every child of God has ability within themselves to understand when their flesh is pulling one way and when their spirit's pulling another way. And if you want to have a successful prayer life, and you want to be able to pray about matters, number one, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because even when you don't know what to ask for, how to ask for it, what to do, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He can intercede and ask for you by groanings that you don't even understand. Second of all, look in your Bibles and notice, if you would, in verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to who? Means that you just put your dependence upon you. You completely surrender to God. If you want to pray about a matter, one, get sensitive about the Holy Spirit. Number two, completely submit yourself to God. Now listen to me. That might mean the Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, He will not hear us. That might mean having to straighten some things out before you pray. It might mean other things, but what you have to do is submit yourselves before God. You have to completely surrender to God in that matter. You say, preacher, I've got this burden. Turn it over to the Lord. Can He fix it? You said at the beginning of the message that there was nothing that He could not fix. Can He take care of anything? Yeah, we like disciples. Sometimes we have to say, oh Lord, help my unbelief. Sometimes when Jesus looked at him, oh, ye have little faith. But we have a privilege of prayer. Our greatest weapon in the world. You say, well, I'm going to threaten. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You need to surrender to Him. Third thing. You've got to stand against the devil. Look in verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Anytime that you're going and you're wanting to get in prayer. And look how much Jesus prayed. Somebody said, well, every time I feel I need to pray, I pray. What are you saying? Every time you have sin, you pray? Well, how about all the time that Jesus spent in prayer? You know why Jesus spent? Because it was a great privilege. It was power to get things done that need to get done. And so, not only submit to the Father, but we got to stand against the devil. We got to fight him. Because what he'll do is he will try to intervene. He'll try to get fears, wars, and all these things going inside of our lives. And what we'll find ourselves warring on the outside because we're warring on the inside. We've got to resist him. Next, look if you would, in verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, if you remember, he's talking about those that was praying the wrong way and they had made friendship with the world. They had gotten involved and too close to the world. And the world was pulling them away. He said, you got to clean yourself up. Wash yourself up. And last but not least, he says in verse 9 and 10, he said, be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? You got to be sober about this thing. You got something you want to pray to God about? You got to get serious. When the Bible tells us that the aged men and aged women, that the aged man needs to be sober, it means we need to be serious about it. You know, there's a time when we can cut up and laugh and have those things, but there's sometimes things in the church that when the men get together, we need to be completely serious about it. Need to be sober, grave, understand the importance of it, and step up to the plate. When we are praying, we need to be serious about this matter. You have something on your heart you need to pray about. You've got your flesh that's fighting against you. You got the world that's fighting against you and trying to pull you. You got the devil trying to keep you from doing it, putting all kinds of doubts in your mind, all kinds of fears in your mind. But you got God saying, if you would just submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, he'll flee from thee. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. He says, if you'll get close to me, clean yourself up, be serious, be sober, you humble before me, and I'll lift you up. Folks, tonight, I just want to give you this one thought. Prayer is the greatest gift a saved person has. But it is the most neglected gift that we have. And as much as we pray sometimes in our churches, as much as we pray other times, we catch ourselves so many times praying in the flesh. I catch myself praying in the flesh instead of praying in spirit. So tonight, I'd like for us to stand just a moment. Anybody here can come play something on piano or guitar? Anybody at all? If not, that's okay.